Today on The Travel Guys.
The travel news. Airbnb says they are great for the economy. New York and San Francisco say maybe not so much. And a major airline is cutting the number of restrooms in favor of more seats. We'll give you the sorry story.
At 3:20, we welcome John Wheat, the director of the Sacramento International Airport, to the show. John has updates on parking, concessions, new services. It's a fact-filled interview that you're not going to want to miss.
Making you a smarter traveler at 3:20. At 3:45, we welcome Josh Rubenstein. Josh has a charity event to tell us about, and I think it might be one you'll want to support, knowing Travel Guys listeners as I do.
We have the best. We're going to save the best for last, as always, at 3:55 with a letter from one airline passenger to another. And I want you to know, it isn't a love letter.
All that as we slide through a Sacramento Sunday. You're tuned to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Mark, I notice you've got... your fingers appear to have pizza stains on them. Any reason that, you know, I mean, you haven't been anywhere like where there's a lot of great pizza or anything this past week?
No. I've been to Portland.
Been to Portland, okay.
I've been to Portland. We stayed in the tiny houses in Portland on Tuesday night.
You did?
We did.
The famous tiny houses?
The famous tiny houses we've been talking about.
Which of the tiny houses did you get?
I stayed in Roly Poly.
Roly Poly, okay.
Yes, so of these six.
Uh-huh. Did you have to hike up a little flight of stairs to your bunk
bed? I did, and if we get through the travel news in reasonable time today, I would very much like to share a little bit about the tiny houses and our visit to Portland this past week.
Okay. I guess the reference about the pizza stains was relative to the fact that some of your travelers went, but you didn't.
Ah, that's
went to,
true.
Went to Boston, no?
That went to Boston.
New York.
I'm going to New York next week.
Okay.
But you're just ahead of yourself a little bit.
Am I ahead of myself?
The pizza tour. You're talking about Tony, the pizza guy.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're going to see Tony next Saturday in New York City.
This guy is the hardest to keep track of. I have conversations with him, and I, as you can tell, I can't tell whether... He's coming or going. So Tony, the pizza guy, is next week.
Yes. Sports Leisure Travelers are headed to New York City on Friday. And on Saturday, Tony will be taking us through Brooklyn, treating us to pizza. We'll be having a blast in New York City. You will be here, however, holding down the fort.
I will be. And then, you know, that just goes to show how easily you can waste 2 minutes of broadcast programming time by one of the hosts not having any idea who he is or where he's been. But that being said, let's do what we do at the beginning of each show on The Travel Guys, is bring you the travel news. Mark, save me, please.
Absolutely, Thomas. Looking at some airline news here quickly, JetBlue has a great new promotion. If you join JetBlue's True Blue program and fly once, one way even, you get 7,000 bonus points. It's good up until June the 18th. It's only good for people who haven't been previously a member of their program. You have to go online and register. But since those of us who are frequent flyers generally try to value our frequent flyer miles at about 1.2 cents apiece, it's worth $84.
Well, there you go. I was going to say that was my question, is what is 7,000 points worth?
Well, it's a great bonus in a pretty good program on a pretty darn good airline.
Not bad.
So I recommend it. Meanwhile, over at Delta, the CEO there, Richard Anderson, said airline fees are not going away. He said that even though Delta has it's just introduced a new fare category called basic economy, which basically means that you hold on to the wing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
When the plane goes, you don't get to pick a seat or anything. We've talked about this on the program. They're trying to compete with Spirit and Frontier, which are encroaching on their territory there in Atlanta. But Delta just says that this is what the CEO says. He says that passengers tell us that they want to make choices in terms of what they pay for.
Clearly, there was a guy not too long ago that was banging on the bottom of the plane because he chose to be in the luggage department, I think. Wasn't that the case?
What this man really, when you translate what he says, it means is that We know that you choose to pay less for a basic ticket, but more by the time you fly when we tack on fees for seats and printing a boarding pass and anything else that we can baggage and anything else that we can think of, probably some things we haven't thought of yet.
Would you like a seatbelt?
And exactly. So these are all choices that people make. But since they're choices that most people who fly make, it's kind of disingenuous, I think, to tell people that, you know, fares are lower because people want to choose to add $50 a bag to pay for their luggage when they travel. Yeah. Anyways, Alaska is going to sell the seats that have extra legroom on their planes for more money now.
Well, of course.
It's taking them a while.
Again, an option.
Two rows of exit seats in a bulkhead. That's 18 seats on their 737s. And it doesn't say how much more they're going to be, but for 24 hours ahead of time, if their frequent flyers haven't claimed them, you can purchase them on Alaska Airlines. Mm-hmm. Southwest is having a sale. It's not for the summer, folks. If you're waiting for a sale for the summer, you have waited way too long. Just go on, hold your nose, go online, buy your tickets. It's not going to get any cheaper. However, Southwest has a sale starting late in August through late in October. Slow travel time traditionally. This is good for every day except Friday or Sunday, which is more than their usual Tuesday, Thursday thing. So, tickets start at $62, and I looked online, and it's a reasonably decent sale. So if you're planning some travel in the fall,
What months was this to travel?
From late August to late October.
Okay.
You planning something there?
I am.
I see the wheels turning.
It is. San Antonio in September.
We alluded in the headlines that one airline, this airline is overseas, is taking out seats and putting in toilets. Indeed, EasyJet, which is an airline that flies in Europe, has decided that you don't need two restrooms in the back of the plane on their A320s. In fact, the new ones are going to come with six extra seats in them. And the way they've gotten that extra space is not from taking away legroom from passengers who are already crammed in, but they have taken away part of the galley, since they don't really serve food on their airplanes anyway, and they've taken away one of the restrooms. There used to be two. Now there will be one. And they say that this restroom will accommodate even folks with mobility and disability issues. So there's only one restroom now on EasyJet. And I don't know how that's going to impact
travel.
Take
a number.
Take a number, absolutely. United Airlines is giving LAX, their terminal LAX, a massive, expensive facelift. $573 million of your airfare dollars are going to be spent to make things look prettier there. That terminal is old and way out of date, and they have tried to fix it up a few times. So I guess if you're flying on United through Los Angeles for the next, let's say 3 or 4 years, you can plan on being seriously inconvenienced. And finally, one non-airline story. Airbnb released an economic impact study last week that says that they were worth more than $1 billion to New York City's economy. Because they're saying that people are just massive numbers of people are staying in Airbnb. But interestingly enough, the city of New York and also the city of San Francisco are countering with the fact that they believe that people are taking rental properties out of circulation and not offering them as monthly rentals because they can make more money renting them out by the day.
Well, there are laws in certain communities, and I know an acquaintance who had some property in Florida. The laws basically you can't take rentals and turn them into vacation homes. There are laws against that, and if they find out you're doing it, you can be severely fined. Now, is that the case here?
It appears to be. And in a report commissioned by San Francisco Supervisor David Campos estimates upwards of 23% of vacant rentals have been removed from the housing market to be used exclusively as short-term hotels through sites like Airbnb. And you know how expensive it is to stay or rent or live in San Francisco. That's an ongoing battle for people. So if you take 23% out of the market, why, then you're talking about prices are on the remaining properties are going to go higher, and prices on those overnight stays are going to be higher.
Now, Airbnb, are they being regulated and having to pay money to the city for their services?
For their taxes.
In San Francisco?
Yes,
as well?
Hypothetically, yes. That we haven't heard a lot about that recently, although Airbnb has been forced in a number, you know, that's the online travel agencies that have been forced to pay those back taxes on their markup, you know, between they got the room for $60 from the hotel and sold it to you for $90, and they only paid taxes on $60, and they pocketed the rest.
You know, and those people that have the Airbnb and so forth, if they haven't already, The IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, is going to want their share
of
the taxes that are associated to you renting that out.
If you collected a couple, $3,000, $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, live in New York, $20,000, $30,000 for renting out your place, and you did it all in cash and stuff like that, I'm just going to suggest to you that they're going to be, that Airbnb's records are probably going to be something that the IRS is going to be very interested in. And so you need to be on the up and up here, folks, because
records? What records?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
But what a great way, on the flip side of this now, what a great way, if you live in New York City, you're a struggling college student or something like that. I guess a struggling college student in New York, I was going to say, would have an extra room, but they wouldn't, because hotels and rooms, apartments in New York, no one would have extra space to rent out. But what if you were leaving during spring break or semester break or for the summer or something, you could probably make a profit.
There you go.
You could help offset all of those.
You planted
fees
the seed
and stuff
yes.
like that. Yes. I'm sure there are people who are way ahead of me.
There'll be college students that are listening to you right now.
Rent out the extra bedroom at Shea Hoffman and get amazing. Did you know we have a trip coming up pretty soon here in a few weeks on the Magic Bus.
Magic Bus. What's the date?
It's the 23rd of June.
Okay.
And
gotta write that down.
Which is a weekday.
Gotta request the
day off. And we started offering this to our folks by way of a Sacramento Bee ad on Friday. And goodness gracious, the phones lit up. And so I just want to say, if you want to go with the Travel Guys on June the 23rd, it's $135. We're going to go down and ride the Magic Bus, which will take you all around San Francisco, but particularly into the Haight District. And really a lot of fun.
And we're going to do it a little differently this time. Last time we bussed there, bussed around town, bussed home, got stuck in some traffic.
We did, because we were on a weekend. So this is going to be a weekday. And we're going to, after we get done with our Magic Bus, we'll go down to the wharf. And folks will have time for lunch on their own at their favorite spot, maybe pick up some French bread or something like that. And then we're going to take off on the ferry boat and come back to Vallejo. And then our coach will meet us there and bring us back home. So we call that an intermodal trip.
Intermodal.
Yep. That means you're using more than one type of transportation.
Perfect. I love it.
Intermodal. So anyway, the Travel Guys on the Magic Bus, 23rd of June. Call Sports Leisure Vacations for details. 361-TOUR for details, and join the Travel Guys on the Magic Bus.
And that would be Mark and Tom. So that, in case you want to, back out now. you're going to be stuck with.
This is your great opportunity. All right, coming up after the break, we are going to start an interview with John Wheat. John is the executive director at Sacramento Airport. He sat down with us this past week and answered, we had a lot of questions.
You did.
I had solicited questions from folks in the airport and the like. And so they wanted to know about concessions and parking and new services coming into the airport and the new air service and stuff like that. And so we laid it all out on John, and he gave us all the answers that they will make you a smarter travel, I promise.
That's next here on The Travel Guys. Welcome to The Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and we've been promising you this interview for about a week now, and are looking forward to getting it a chance to talk to the man. Mark, introduce our special guest today.
Well, joining us is John Wheat. John is the director at Sacramento International Airport. Has quite an extended airport history and airport career, if you will. John, welcome to Sacramento, and welcome to The Travel Guys.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here today.
John, I mentioned to you before we started the interview that when I first contacted Lori about talking to you, my travels and my journeys through the airport and just on planes and waiting for planes and stuff, and my own staff asked people for some questions that, what would they like to know? If they could ask the director of the airport something, what would they ask them? So we've got a few of those questions here today. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to take a shot at them. John, the first and probably thing that comes up the most often is about concessions, and particularly particularly concessions in Terminal A. So if you can give us an update on what's going on there, that would be a great place to start.
I'd be more than happy to do that. As you know, and as I'm sure your listeners know, Terminal A concessions by no means are up to the same status as the concessions we have in Terminal B. The food court, as you know it today in Terminal A, is pretty blasé. Right now we have temporary operators in there. construction will start in the food court the end of May. And not only will we be getting brand new concessions, which I'll describe in a minute, but we're going to give it a complete makeover to make it more of like a Market Street appeal to our customers and provide a much more comfortable area for people to sit, to visit, as well as to have, you know, places to eat.
So what kind of foodstuffs can we look forward to, John?
I think we're going to bring in three local concepts. The main tenant that's going to go in there is a new concept called the Iron Horse. It is a Wong, I think, brothers concept. They're opening up a new, the same concept on 15 and R in the next month, and we're going to open this up in a July time frame. It's actually going to have a very nice bar that's going to be brought out into the middle of the food court, really highlighting a lot of the draft or a lot of the craft beers around the region and other places. It's going to have a full service restaurant, sit-down full service restaurant, as well as a takeout. Besides that, we're going to be opening a Pisano's, which we're all looking very forward to getting a bite of their pizza. And I think the other fun one that we're going to be seeing is we're going to be opening up the Squeeze Inn. Now, these concepts, in addition to that, we're also going to be providing a new venue called Freshies. It's a concept that started in Toronto. It's a very fresh salads, wraps, things of that nature, very healthy, very fresh, I think will be very popular. And then, of course, we'll have Pete's Coffee, which will be providing all of our early morning travelers their daily fix. The other thing that's kind of exciting is that Vino Volo is going to be expanding their operation and creating a bit of a grocery marketplace in conjunction with their current operation, which has been very successful. And then down on the main level, down on the ticket level, as you go up the escalators, we will be replacing the very small kiosk that's been off to the side that is a Starbucks. We're going to be putting in a full, a much larger full-service Starbucks in between the two escalators with some very nice seating for our passengers as well. So we're really excited about this. From a time frame standpoint, all the work will be completed by the end of September. We anticipate that certain of the venues will start opening in July, with the remaining of them coming in a September time frame, probably be half and half.
We are the Travel Guys, and you're listening to John Wheat. He is the director of the Sacramento International Airport. John, sounds like some pretty exciting stuff going on. How about the hours? What hours do you plan to have these all of these restaurants and eateries and such open?
Excellent question, Tom, because that's something that's down on my list here, is folks mentioning that sometimes things are not open early enough in the morning or late enough in the evening. So, John, go ahead.
Be more than happy to. Over in Terminal A, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, the early morning rush is a very big time for us over there. So especially the Pete's Coffee, the Freshies, and I believe it's either Pisano's or Squeeze In, our hours will be matched to meet the demand of, you know, who's wanting what venues. The bar probably won't be opened at 6 a.m. in the morning because there's really not a lot of demand for that. But the food service for the morning crowd will definitely be there. The venues will remain open during the day, and then depending on the evening schedule, we do have some late flights that come in, but most of the food service is oriented towards people who are leaving. And so as our last bank of flights take off, you'll start seeing maybe one or two of the venues close, but we'll always have something open for everybody. And our real intent, if there's a demand for food service, we're going to to make sure you get it, just as we do in Terminal B.
Let me throw in something here that also came up in my, you know, ask the public, what would you like to ask John sort of thing. Other than the thing that came up was that, you know, sometimes those international flights late in the evening, those red-eye international flights, that there's just a very limited limited number of concessions or no concessions at all. In fact, one guy mentioned to me that he was flying on the JetBlue trip to New York one night, and it was slightly delayed and wasn't leaving until about 12:15, and he couldn't get a cup of coffee, a newspaper, or a wad of gum in the terminal. So it sounds like that you're aware of those things, and that when things are redone, that you're going to specifically address those issues.
Well, I think that as we, you know, we always are looking at the hours of operations. We're not going to keep our operations open for a flight that's delayed one night. You know, we set our schedules for our operators based upon what their schedules are. So if a flight's delayed 2 hours, they don't take off until 1 o'clock in the morning. Unfortunately, there may not be a great selection of food.
Well, and that's very understandable. I think what this gentleman was talking about, actually, it was a man and his wife, and who had taken one of the Mexico City flights the first week that they were offered,
right.
And just was commenting that he would like to see a few more options available to them on those international flights, because he said things were pretty slim. But he did mention it was the first week, and I told him, I said, well, you know, I promised him I would mention it to you, and I've fulfilled my obligation to. Let's go on away from the food here. Let's talk about, you've got a new parking payment system that's coming online out at the airport. I've seen the signs. I've seen the machines going in. Quickly give our listeners a little bit of idea on how things are going to change in terms of paying for parking at the airport.
Be more than happy to. We're installing a new parking revenue management system for all of our lots. Some of the benefits that our passengers are going to see, one of the fun things I think we're going to be providing is the ability, as you get off the plane, you get your bags, you're headed to the parking lot, or you're headed to the bus to catch, you know, to go out to the economy lot, you'll be able to pay on foot if you wish. So that, you know, you just simply go up, you put your ticket in, you use your credit card, you'll then get another ticket back. So when you get in your car and you exit the lanes, you don't have to stop for anybody, you don't have to do anything, you simply insert this ticket and the gate opens up and away you go. We're putting a lot of features in to try and make the exiting much more efficient and customer friendly. So, you know, there's nothing worse than coming home and then having five cars or six cars you're waiting to get out of the parking lot on.
Finally, places to eat in Terminal A.
And Mark spends a lot of time in Terminal A. You fly out with United, and I hear it every week as to the shortcomings. So
there's nothing to eat.
Yeah, you were as giddy as a little schoolgirl hearing about all the cool things that's going to be coming your way.
Yeah, that's it. All right, the news is next, and then we come back and we talk to John. We're going to talk about new service and also about some of the other things that are going on out at the airport, the new hotel and the like, and maybe we're going to find out how Joe's Frog is doing during the news update.
All right.
Stay with us. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road.
Mark, you brought your guitar and you're doing a little vocal for us here. Thank you for that little bumper music thing. That you're getting really good.
You're losing your mind.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, losing my mind, right next to Mark Hoffman.
It's a terrible thing to lose.
Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
I'm on the left.
On the left.
On the left, yes.
As always.
As always.
Okay.
Listen, before we get back to the interview, why don't we do this little piece of stuff here? We have a winner, Sports Leisure Vacations winner. Last week, we gave away $100 to Jess Mills, who called in and claimed his prize. Ginger Wilkinson is our winner this week. Ginger Wilkinson was with us on a mystery tour a couple weeks ago. If you call Sports Leisure Vacations Monday or Tuesday, you can claim a $100 travel card. And if Ginger doesn't call, then the award will go up to $200 next week. So the second half of our interview is coming up with John. He told us all about the concessions and about parking and stuff like that. And we've still got the hotel and the new air service and lots of good things to go.
And we do. And for those that are Josh's friends, that he told him that he was going to be on the radio here to talk about the firefighters and the Burn Institute, he's coming up shortly, too. In the meantime, let's get back to our interview with John Wheat from the Sacramento International Airport. We join Mark as he asks the question.
Next topic, John. Let me ask you a little bit. We've got new service recently to everywhere from Mexico City on the high end to Visalia on the other side, so regional service. We talked to the folks from Seaport Airlines a couple of weeks ago. We also talked to the folks from Surf Air, the membership startup thing. But Mexico City service, we've got the new service, the Love, the overnight with Boston that my company is utilizing for to bring a tour group home from Boston in a couple of weeks. Is there anything in the hopper that we haven't heard about yet that you can allude to, tell us about? I know it's hard in these negotiations to, you don't want to be premature, but what's going on behind the scenes in terms of new air service? The numbers have come up 6 months in a row. It's obvious that the economy around here is doing a lot better. If you're driving the streets, you know, the traffic is heavier.
Let me first of all say that air passenger traffic has actually been up for 12 months in a row now. When you talk about new service that we're always visiting with our air carriers and looking at what we can do. We've always felt that one of the weakest points we have is service to the East Coast, so that's always something we're always talking to our air carriers on. But as it relates to, for instance, some things I can give you information on, because there's nothing, secret about it from our discussions with Southwest. But we're looking possibly for 2016 service, in the year of 2016, looking at such cities as BWI, Orlando, and Houston Hobby. And Hobby is so important to us as well, because Southwest is going to be starting up their international hub out of Hobby, and so mainly serving the Caribbean and Latin America. So having a direct service into Houston for connections and then right on to Latin America or the Caribbean really does provide a nice alternative to our passengers.
Well, and that's it, John. You make a very good point. And I was just in Houston, coincidentally, the other night, trying to make a tight connection with a group. And one of the groups they were waiting for was an Orlando flight, with a dozen connecting Sacramento passengers, on it. So that's just anecdotal, but, no question that, some of those East Coast destinations, I mean, right now we have the Dulles flight seasonally and the overnight to New York and stuff, but, getting some daytime flights and getting some things that would be year round to Philadelphia or Charlotte or some of the other major hubs would I think certainly be a help. The Southwest service to Love Field makes a big difference because Southwest has really bulked up their hub there. Any possibility of any regional service kind of along the lines of what Seaport is offering to Visalia? Sacramento used to have service to just about everything around the valley. May not have paid for itself, but is any discussions along those lines?
We've had discussions with Seaport, and I know that they're having, we've been chatting with them as well as other airports about getting service to Redding and San Luis Obispo. Those are two of the ones that I think that they're having discussions at those airports to bring service into Sacramento.
I want to talk to you about the landing fees at the airport, and I don't really care what they are, to the extent that airlines have told us over the years, have told me many times, that it costs more to work out of the new terminal than it does out of the old terminal. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Okay.
The rates that we charge landing fees, and then we charge terminal rent. Those are the two components. The terminal rents are equalized, and landing fees are applied to everybody based upon per 1,000 pounds.
So it does not matter whether a airline is headquartered in Terminal A or Terminal B. They're paying the airport the same fees to do business there.
That is correct.
So we've had JetBlue and American Airlines, American moving over to join their merger partner, U.S. Airways, and we've had JetBlue move over to the old terminal. Any specific reason for that?
I just think that the space needs fit better for them over there. And the setup fit better for their, especially for JetBlue's, for their operation, which is, just a few flights a day. However, they're very important to us. They just felt that that was a nicer location for them. Plus, they did save a bit of money by going over in because of the bag claim area, the bag makeup area being at a lesser cost.
We're talking with John Wheat, the director at Sacramento International Airport, with the Travel Guys today. John, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners? Anything that I haven't covered that's coming up at the airport that might be exciting or make life easier for folks? Or,
well, the one thing is we announced we're going to be building a hotel at the airport, that construction should start this year and hopefully be completed by some first quarter or mid-quarter of 2017. So we're
That's a Hyatt Place, I believe, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. It's 135 rooms. It will be connected to the parking garage, and I think provide great amenities and great access for our passengers needing to spend the night before they travel.
So it's going to be right up there between the two terminals, kind of, sort of.
Yes, absolutely, it will be.
You know, Tom, I'm always telling folks on the radio how much I love Marriott in particular. Has a lot of properties around the country that are physically connected to airports. In other words, you get your bag, you don't need a shuttle bus or anything. You can just walk right to your room, or in the morning you can get up and walk right to your security or to check in. And I think that's a huge benefit in something that is definitely lacking in Sacramento.
Yeah, so absolutely. And with that being said, John, will that hotel be accommodating conventionaires? Will there be events that you're going to be held there?
We don't. It will have some meeting space. It's not sized to handle large conventions. The market research basically showed that for the time being, that's really not what's needed here. What's needed here is the actual rooms with minimal meeting space, because the big meetings, the big conventions are still going to be held in a downtown arena. They're going to stay overnight, but it will have space for bunch of people are coming in, you've got 20 people coming in or 30 people coming in, they're coming in for the day, they need meeting space.
Mm-hmm.
They'll definitely be available for them.
Yeah, and Sacramento's a little easier to deal with than like San Francisco, Los Angeles, some of those types of things. When is the hotel scheduled to open, John?
If I'm not mistaken, it's the first part or the middle part of 2017.
Okay, so we've got about a couple years to go for that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, Tom, anything you can think of here that we haven't touched on? I've gone down my whole list.
Some great information, John. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day and spending it here with the Travel Guys. No, I think we pretty much covered it all. Any last words to our listeners, John, in regards to encouraging them to come out and fly SMF?
Well, we encourage everybody to come out and fly SMF. We think we've got a great facility here. It's an easy airport to manipulate. No matter where you're driving from, it's a consistent drive time. So, we just have great amenities. As you know, everybody in this community loves their airport, and we do everything we can on a daily basis to make them love it more.
Stacks of old suitcases, flying rabbits, and things that get people's attention when it never fails when somebody, still in the what is now the old terminal with the big piles of old suitcases in luggage claim, and you can always tell when someone hasn't been to Sacramento before, because they stand there and look at that and try to figure it out, and it's something they've never seen before. And it's always a lot of fun to talk to folks who are there for the first time and are looking at the art in the airport. So John,
I always spot my Samsonite. It's kind of a light brown right near the top that I know that was mine.
It probably is.
John, we really do thank not only you, but also Lori Sothauer, who has represented the airport well, particularly around the holiday season with us here on KFBK. And I'm sure she'll be back again when it gets busy again this year. But thank you so much. And we would love to be able to check in with you, every few months. Or if you have something important, why please check back with us or send Lori our way so that we can keep folks informed about what's going on out at the airport.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
We are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler and keep you up to date on what's going on at your airport.
Yes, we will. Absolutely. I thought that was about as informational as you can get. I mean, John knows his stuff, and he didn't dodge any questions or anything. And, I give it to him. When we come back, we are going to tell you about the Firefighters Burn Institute and a very special fundraiser so that you can help burn victims in our community. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and we'll be right back.
Got the Travel Guys on KFBK, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. Mark, we've been promoting our special guest. Let's get to it.
We have Josh Rubenstein in studio with us. He's a captain with the Consumnes Fire Department, and Josh is here to tell us about a fundraising event that's coming up called A Tropical Affair, and it is for the Firefighters Burn Institute. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Josh.
Thank you for having me, Mark and Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, cool. So tell us about this event that's coming up. It's When is our 27th of June? It's on a Saturday in the evening. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's one of the fundraisers we do every year. We are entering our fourth year with this particular fundraiser. It's called A Tropical Affair because we want people to come and enjoy themselves, wear tropical attire and whatnot. It's June 27th. It runs in the evening between 6 and 10. It's actually on the campus of Children's Hospital right across the street from UC Davis. And it's going to be a great time.
Now, Josh, the Firefighters Burn Institute, explain a little bit about what their mission is.
Well, the Firefighters Burn Institute was established a little over 42 years ago after a horrific plane crash. A plane was taken off out of Executive Airport and crashed into Farrell's Ice Cream Parlor, killing 22 people, 12 of which were children, burned numbers of folks. And that's essentially the impetus as to why the fund, the nonprofit started.
Now, the money that's raised at this event will go to help burn survivors, folks that have had serious burns and things of that sort. And you mentioned something about the Shriners Hospital, too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, correct. The funds that are raised with this particular event are shared between both Shriners Hospital and the Firefighters Burn Institute. And the monies raised are going to go to help fund the different programs that we offer burn survivors and their families.
Way cool. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Mark, for those listening, they can go to travelguysradio.com. We're going to have a link right there that will take you to the website where not only can you look at purchasing tickets, but there are sponsorship opportunities as well.
Yeah, this seems like a really good event.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about the event and what all is going to be going on that particular day, Josh.
Well, Mark, it's a great time. We have over 20 of our local restaurants, breweries, and wineries, some of our more famous caterers, if you will, in the Sacramento region, providing their wares, serving their finest wines and their craft brews. DeVere's Restaurants, who is a great supporter of the Burn Institute, is going to have their chef there, and they're going to be preparing small bites. Basically, it's small appetizers. With your ticket admission, you're able to fill your stomach with good things.
So you can get dinner and a little entertainment, and you can support a really, really good cause. It's called A Tropical Affair. It's going to be on Saturday, June the 27th, from 6 to 10 p.m., and you can get you can find more information by going to travelguysradio.com. It's going to be held at the Shriners Hospital for Children. And Josh, gosh, this is you've been a fireman for how long now, you told us?
Well, I've been a medic for 35 years. I've been in the fire service for 27, and I've worked in the Elk Grove Galt area for about 20.
And how long have you been involved with the Burn Institute?
Well, I've always supported the different events over the course of my career, but I was actually provided an opportunity to become part of the advisory board about 6 years ago. It's a great nonprofit. They serve a very, very worthwhile service. Burn injuries are some of the most traumatic and horrific traumatic injuries that somebody can have, and being a part of this group is just absolutely phenomenal. It's very, very warming.
Josh, thanks for coming into the studio today and taking the time to talk to us a little bit about this. If you are interested in helping the Firefighters Burn Institute, go to travelguysradio.com. You can see the link there, and you can get tickets. They're $50 a piece or two for $90. A tropical affair on June the 27th. So, we saved the best for last.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Now, I want to warn those of you. Here again, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and there you'll find this story. There are some, as Mark, I'm guessing you're going to read this.
Yes, I am. This is one airline passenger to another.
Yeah, and there are some graphic...
Graphic phrases in
graphic
here.
Graphic phrases here, Josh.
Yes, you'll want to listen carefully to catch those.
I want
those.
You to be careful now. You might need to leave the room for this. Are you going to stay in the room while we do this?
Okay.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Okay,
so this is a lady. She was on an overnight flight from Singapore to Sydney, Australia, 8 hours. And at the end, she had some rather unpleasant experiences with the passenger in front of her. And so at the end, she wrote this passenger a letter. Dear passenger 15A, you do not know me, but I was seated in front of you during the flight from Singapore to Sydney on April 12th. What I had initially thought to be a routine flight turned out to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it was all because of you. And I'm writing this letter to thank you personally. I didn't, being the cheapskate Asian that I am, I didn't pay extra for a seat next to the emergency exit. Although it offered more legroom, I couldn't be bothered to read the special safety procedures. The last thing I would want to do is compromise the lives of all the innocent passengers because I don't know how to open the airplane door. Despite my common economy seat, you offered me a back massage by repeatedly kicking the back of my chair. To date, I have yet to regain full mobility of the lower half of my body. But since I am single, I suppose I don't have much use for it anyway. I did not pay for the in-flight entertainment package, and I was worried that I might get bored. But my concerns were unnecessary. You were talking so loudly, as if your friend was seated in the cargo hold rather than right next to you. Perhaps she's hard of hearing. This might strike you as odd, but for the first time in my life, I wish I had a hearing impairment, too. Also, could you tell me where you bought those obnoxious snacks? I assume that they must have been delicious because you ripped one open every 30 minutes. Thanks for the loud rustling and chewing ambient sounds. At this point, I thought, it can't get any better than this. But what I had meant as a rhetorical question, you took as a challenge. For immediately my nose was assaulted by a putrid smell of death and decay. The stench was so strong that I turned to check if the old lady seated next to me was still breathing. It was nice of you to take off your shoes and put your feet between my seat and the plane window. It must have taken considerable effort. It was a small space, but you stuck it as close to my face as you possibly could. Your kindness moves me. The sun is rising above the horizon. The sky is bleeding crimson and gold. But I cannot turn to gaze at this everyday miracle because every time I do, I smell the anus of Satan. If I had half the mind to pull down the oxygen mask above me, but then I remembered that I was flying on a budget airline, so I'd probably have to pay extra for that. Did you know that you made me a more religious person? I've said more prayers in that 8-hour flight than I have in my entire life, and I was torn between God asking for strength to endure the rest of the journey and just take me home. This experience has been so memorable that I am writing this from my therapist's office. I've also signed up for 10 more sessions to talk about it. Thank you once again. Insincerely yours, the passenger in 14A.
I have to point out now, the gal that wrote this confessed to being a bit of a comedy writer.
Yes.
So, and imagine...
And she is of Asian descent, before we get in trouble with someone for a comment about being the cheap Asian that she is. But she wrote this to a fellow Asian passenger who was on this flight.
And I might point out that I think it got, I don't know how many tens of thousands
viral, yeah. there are 1,500 comments on Yahoo about it. So anyways, just the letter that you've always wanted to write to somebody for kicking your seat and taking off your shoes. I thought her description of the smell of the lady's feet were, I won't repeat it again, but was particularly... Yeah. Particularly descriptive.
And feel free, if you're ever in that situation and somebody is kicking the back of the seat, you can always turn to them and say, hey, thanks for the back massage. I was really enjoying that. You know, and others, things that you could use
and
there.
And so comes to the end another Travel Guys program here with the kicking of the seat. And we've helped the firefighters. We've given people more information at the airport. We've made people a smarter traveler today, sir. I believe that.
Next week, I'm going to have Gwen Duncan on. We're going to talk about a little getaways right in our own backyard that you're going to enjoy. We're also going to bring back Ed Perkins for a special interview that we did that I know that's going to make you a smarter traveler.
And I'm going to be live from New York City.
That's right. That's next time on The Travel Guys. You guys have a great rest of your week. Thank you for joining us. Stay well now. See you next time.